This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Psst, folks, if you didn't already know, we are celebrating our one-year birthday very soon. We're having a one-year party over at the Apex Lounge at Zouk on the 20th of April. It's a Wednesday night, but don't worry about that. Get yourselves over there. Make sure you register. Head over to bfm.my/1tton. Get your name signed up. There's going to be comedy. There's going to be music by Indigo and Co. There's going to be me and Adeline and a whole bunch of other stuff. Make sure you're there. Make sure you sign up. We'll see you there. Now, enjoy the show. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
We're joined in the studio today by Ari-Matti Mustonen, all the way from Estonia.
How's it going?
All right. How did you find yourself here? What are you doing here in Malaysia?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Well, I got kidnapped. I'm doing stand-up comedy here. And right. I was in Thailand. Then I went to Cambodia, went to Thailand back. And then I met another comedian that owns a part of the LOL Livehouse Comedy Club here. Uh-huh. I met him and he was like, hey, man. There's cheap booze and...
cheap other things too, so yeah. Stay around.
Exactly, stay around.
Right.
Is this your first time here in Southeast Asia?
No, it's my fifth time in Southeast Asia, but first time in KL, in Malaysia altogether.
Okay. Yeah. Where else have you traveled around Southeast Asia then? Other than Bangkok, of course.
Yeah, all through Thailand, Myanmar, Cambodia, Indonesia... Vietnam, yeah.
Right. And you don't need to be nice, but of all these countries you've been to, where do you think is your favorite?
The favorite? Well, it depends on what. Like, I've been. This time I've been doing like a comedy tour, so it's Kuala Lumpur. Only because of like how the shows are going and how the people are. I mean, Malaysians, like, English is not a problem. In Thailand, I did 9 shows and I asked. I have a bit where I ask if anybody's from Thailand. Nobody's ever from Thailand. Really, nobody.
All the expats,
yeah.
Wow.
But like living-wise, I'm in Thailand. The islands, I mean, it's an amazing country in the sense of like... Yeah. And when you go to Thailand, you kind of have this feeling of like, how long is this going to be around?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Because
Thailand, you know, it's getting... Every year, if you go... Like, I've been there 3 years ago, first time, and there's already a big difference in the sense of, like, how the building, how the people are. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much, like, robberies and the tourist areas and all that. You can already sense, like...
Yeah.
That it's slipping away in the sense
Sure. I mean, one of my favorite places in the world is Koh Lipe up in Thailand, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love the place, but you can see, over the last year or so, things have changed dramatically, you know, how it is. So I'm interested to know how somebody from Estonia then, and like we just kind of had a bit of a joke, you know, off air, that you'd not seen anybody from Estonia.
No.
Nor Narnia here in Malaysia. And most people here in Malaysia, I would imagine, don't know where Estonia is.
Oh, but I see, that's the thing of, like, I don't blame people.
Right.
But there are Europeans who get like, oh my, you don't know Slovenia. How we invented wheelchair ramps. Like, who cares about Slovenia? Right. Nobody cares. If Slovenia was in war, we would know 3 weeks later. Like, nobody. Like, you can't even, Estonia doesn't come up in Wikipedia. That's how, there are dogs who do backflips who come up in Wikipedia before Estonia.
Right.
And nobody cares, yeah. And like, and I don't care. I'm fine. Like, and you know, and then people always blame Americans. You know, they go, oh, how do you not? Well, you don't know where Cincinnati is or whatever, you know. And I'm totally fine with people not knowing about Estonia.
But I mean, does it kind of gives you a bit of a uniqueness, though.
Oh, yeah, dude. That is, I'm from Narnia. I can say whatever the hell I want. I can walk up and like, yeah. I'm the prince of Estonia, and we invented popcorn. Like, I can just, unless you have a smartphone.
And in parts of Myanmar and Thailand, they probably don't anyway, so you can get away with it.
Exactly. Right, so so lying is a great tool to use as an Estonian.
On radio too.
Yeah, I can literally just be anybody right now.
Right. Be like, okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Ari in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere, though, folks. We have a giveaway, 016-201-9000. Answer this question for us.
Tell us, when were the first pair of commercially available false eyelashes invented? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win as well.
All right, we'll be back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. It's That Time of Night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Drew.
This is...
Ari Mari Mustonen.
There you go. He's all the way from Narnia. Estonia, actually. Right. Ari, it's a really interesting to have you here because I've never interviewed somebody from Estonia for one.
Yeah, all first right. time.
So it's really interesting to meet. Tell me a little bit about Estonia. You know, stuff that you can't read on Wikipedia or in a, you know, encyclopedia.
Well, if you want to go to Estonia, then don't.
Really?
Like, if you're at home, just put your head in a freezer for a couple of hours. That's Estonia,
right?
Basically. It's a great country. It's a small country. But we don't have an arrivals at the airport. People don't just walk up.
Like, they just kind of fly through.
Nobody really lands there. Here's a pro tip, everybody who's listening. If you get into trouble with the law, if you murder somebody in Malaysia, you need a place to go to Estonia.
Really?
Nobody's gonna ask any questions. Estonia, we don't even have a pass. They won't ask you a passport. They don't care. Estonia doesn't even have a fence. You can just rock up on a boat.
Just pass. Estonia.
All we have is a sign that says you must be lost.
Okay, I'm interested, you know, about Estonia. Like, are there any like travel places? You know, places.
Actually, Estonia is a pretty cool country. Like, it's a really small country. Yeah. 1.4 million, I think, people. There's a lot of green. There's a lot of green. The winters are very beautiful. I mean, it's a great getaway. It's really cheap Europe-wise. I mean, a lot of people fly in, stay a couple days, and fly out because it's really cheap to go through there.
Right.
Like Estonia to Stockholm is like 11 euros on Ryanair. I mean, it's like actually.
So you've got Russia on the eastern border, Latvia on the western border. Is that right?
Yep, exactly.
Sweden is what, north of you guys?
Over the water, Sweden and Finland. Mm-hmm. Finland
first.
Yeah. But what are the highlights? Of Estonia, that, you know, if we go there, you know, what are the places that we should visit?
The airport.
Yeah, there's a great McDonald's.
A few bars, I'm guessing.
There's a McDonald's that has a strip club on top of it. It's a great.
Wow.
Why are you here? Oh, wait. Yeah. Wait. Okay.
Talk about a Happy Meal.
Mm-hmm. Like, nice.
For the parents and for the kids.
Is that six nuggets or 12?
Yeah.
Okay. So, why stand up then?
Why stand up? That is interesting because in Estonia, there's an Australian guy actually developing a scene in Estonia, but there was no scene whatsoever. Like, stand-up, when I started, that word was like, it meant nothing in the sense of, like, I started watching stand-up on YouTube. I started watching, like, Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, and I just thought it's, like, people just talking. That's what I thought. And my English was horrible. I didn't understand half of the jokes, but there was something about... Like, there's something about the affection that they got from the people, you know, you make them laugh and stuff. It almost seems like a hypnotist that's on stage.
Yeah.
But their craft is so high that it looks as if they're just talking. Mm. And then I had a couple of gigs where I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go and talk. Mm-hmm. And then it was the worst experience I've ever had in my life.
In Estonia?
Oh, yes.
What's the comedy scene like there?
Well, now it's getting better. After I started traveling, it's getting much better. I mean, now there's like an open mic scene. There's a couple of Estonian comedians that are doing a great job. It is on the rise, but still, it's not like a scene in the sense of like when people go and see a show, they don't exactly know what to expect. You know, like when I started, people would be just like, why is this dude talking about? What is this going on? Like, where's the, what is this, you know?
So there hasn't been a history of stand-up comedy
in
Estonia.
Oh, not at all, no.
Right.
Not at all, yeah. But now there's slowly developing, yeah. But now there's all these, like, famous actors that are like, I was a comedic actor. I reckon I can. And they do all these tours, which are just horrendous. Like, they're just so bad.
Right. So you're talking about, how, you know, Eddie Murphy's craft and Richard Pryor's craft and Dave Chappelle's craft.
Yeah.
How do you work on your material then? Where do you kind of get your material from? I mean, we talk to a lot of comedians and they're kind of observational comedians.
Yeah.
Is that...
In the sense of... Yeah, like, when I saw those guys, I mean, not only that they were all black, I mean, but they were like...
It's a very good point, yeah.
All of their jokes were like racist. I can't go like, so what's to do with black? Like, I can't go on. So I knew when I watched them, I never had it as an idea that I can do it. And then I remember I saw Louis C.K. and Bill Burr.
Yeah.
And they're screaming white guys. And I was like, oh my, like, actually. And they made me laugh on a whole different level. And I was like, oh, you can say that on stage?
Right.
You can talk about, like, stuff like that on stage. And that's where I was like, you know what, maybe let's give it a shot. But never as a like a career, and in the sense that I'm now like pursuing it really, like that's what I want to do in life. But then it was kind of like, I still did a couple of gigs, it sucked, and I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't.
What's the reception been like for you here in Malaysia then so far?
Amazing, yeah, because I do have a very specific style. In Australia when I was doing gigs also, a really good feedback because I had a specific style. I bombed a lot. I mean, it was rough starting out, especially starting in what people don't know, what Malaysian comedians understand is starting out in another language, that's a very different thing. Like right. The whole timing, the pacing, if you mess up a word, you lose. It's not only about translating the jokes. It's totally, you basically have to learn how to talk again. You have to, because my personality is different in a language as well. That's what happens as well. Like if a person speaks another language.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's...
How would you say it's different? What differs from like the Estonian you compared to like the English version of you?
When I started, it was all about being comfortable. That's the toughest thing. Because when you start stand-up, you want to be comfortable. And some people it takes years to develop that. Like mixed martial arts kind of helped me out for it. Because, you know, being in front of people and all that. And at least I'm not getting kicked in the head, right? Like... And it's that helped me out a lot, but you basically have to find yourself again, all over again. And I've changed a lot in the sense of as a person as well.
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned mixed martial arts there. I mean, how heavily into that are you now then as well?
Oh, well, for 5 or 6 years, that was it. Like, that was what I wanted to do in life. Uh-huh. Like, I was pretty, like, I didn't get to a level where I could have, like, actually done something, but... If there would have been a couple more years, then things would have started happening. Like, I was really, that was what I wanted to do. There was nothing else in my life, like, at all. I was very serious about it. So it is interesting what's happened now in the sense.
Well, it is. I mean, you're talking about one, you know, it's predatory, you know.
It is.
You're a guy who's in there for one very specific reason, and that's to beat somebody down and to prevent them from getting back up, right?
Well, basically. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. In a cage covered in oil.
Correct. And
on
the other side, I kind of like that idea. But on the other side, you know, it's almost like you need to appeal to somebody, you know. It's almost polar opposite.
It is polar opposite. But then again, there's something about stand-up comedy that's so different from other arts in the sense of you're alone.
Yeah.
And it's a lot about energy. It's a lot about, it's you and the audience. It's a very like a... Like the talk of war of like getting respect out of people, making them confident in you, tricking them into thinking that you're confident. That's all. There's so much. Same thing in combat in the sense of like hand to hand combat. It's only you against another person, and the way to psychologically a lot of combat sports. Approach it is that there's not even the opponent, it's just you, basically. Which is the same thing about stand-up, in the sense of course, the audience is the feedback and all that, but it's just you up there. Mm. If you suck on stage, it's just you. There's no theater, there's no basketball team, there's no like, oh, we had a bad day. There's no, it's you. You take all the response. Same thing with hand-to-hand combat, with like finding another man, is if you haven't trained, if you haven't done a good job in training, if you're mentally in the wrong place, you will get beat up. That no matter who's your manager, no matter what's your team like, it's you alone in that cage.
Right.
Same thing with a stand-up. You feel that emptiness, alone feeling. Yeah.
How long do you spend crafting your material, writing your material, perfecting your material?
See, that's another thing of like when you start. See, that's another thing when people go into arts, especially stand-up, because when you start out, you get 5 minutes of stage time a day. Sometimes you don't get gigs for weeks, you know, as you start out, because it's really tough because you bomb. It's horrible. It's a terrible thing.
Yeah,
it's hard. And also, like, think about it, 5 minutes on stage. If you wanted to do swimming, Michael Phelps, he's at the pool 7 hours a day, right? Think of if he had to do 8 minutes a day. Like, that would not work, right?
Right.
So as a stand-up, when you started, that's the tough part of, like, what matters so much is what you do off time. You know, a lot of people think that when you start out, it's all about being on stage, being comfortable, being a cool personality. It's not. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of writing down word for word what's going on. It's a lot of that writing premise. Like, I write every day. I try to write an hour, which is actually a lot, but it could be much more. Seinfeld writes 4 hours a day sometimes.
Yeah.
He's notoriously known.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're writing good stuff or bad stuff, as long as you're mentally tweaking yourself.
And getting into the routine of doing
exactly,
that.
Exactly, right. Doing that observational. It's that. That's how you notice if somebody's who's making leaps and bounds quickly or not, you know.
Right. I mean, you mentioned Seinfeld there, and he's potentially one of my favorite stand-ups.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's the way in which when you see him do his stand-up, it's a case of him, like you say, it looks like he's just having a normal everyday
exactly.
conversation with the audience.
That's
what it feels
that's
like.
That's when you see 20 years of
exactly.
comedy.
But
20
you,
years.
You know that behind that.
Exactly.
Every single word, every single pause.
Every pause, every
everything.
Look. It's watching Seinfeld is like watching a well-crafted samurai sword cut the wood in half. You're like, oh, this is a sword and that's a sword.
Yeah.
But to make that sword, they were just folding the steel, folding the steel for years and years.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work in the sense of... And you have to kind of fall in love with that. That's the hardest part.
Right.
Is like, because that's how when you see in stand-up, very notoriously, you see people who start out with, they have a tough time. Mm-hmm. Those are the people who actually get better in the sense because they need to climb a ladder, you know. Mm. But if you see personalities who are very outgoing and they start, they get discouraged easily because when they see that the work starts in.
Right.
If they see the work, they get kind of discouraged, you know.
I mean, they come out all confident.
Exactly.
They get a few laughs the first few times.
Exactly.
And then they think, oh, I can just carry it by myself.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's where. And you have to love the work.
Yeah.
Like, I love bombing. I love the work. I love doing bad. I love listening to the I hate myself. I hate listening to recordings, but I love the fact that I hate myself. It's all a game in the sense of
all the learning process.
Yeah, you have to love it all.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back after these messages with news from Page Two, of course, and Smarty Pants. We'll see how smart he is in a little while. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is That Time of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
Over here we have...
Ari Mari.
He's come all the way from Estonia just to be on our show. No, he hasn't. He's been performing at the Crack House Comedy Club all across Asia, doing a whole bunch of shows in Australia as well.
Yes.
Where are you off to next?
Hong Kong and then Tokyo.
It's not a bad little life, is it, so far? It's going
all
right?
It's been all right,
It's been all right. Treating you okay.
All right,
We're going to move on to news from Page Two, but first we have a giveaway, 016-201-9000. We are giving away visors.
From Ashbin and Bolt. Now, to win, all you have to do is just answer this question. Tell us, when were the first pair of commercially available false eyelashes invented? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win as well.
All right, we're going to move on to news from Page Two, folks.
Extra, extra, beat all the
fire. What's all the shouting?
Me. So when you're growing up, right, I'm mainly basing this on a kind of Western perception. When you have, you've just passed your driving test, you know, you got your first car, everybody's like, you know, it makes you a little bit cooler, right? It makes you a little bit more appealing, you think, more independent, and you can take girls out in it, essentially.
That's one of the most biggest, as being a guy, that's one of the biggest things.
It's a big thing, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Losing your virginity, getting your first car.
Correct.
Totally.
I slipped up by getting a motorbike.
Yeah.
But, you know, I felt more manly like that. But anyway, there's this guy in Kentucky in the US, right? He's 81 years old. And his wife passed away just a couple of years ago. And he's decided that he wants to get back on the wagon again.
Yeah.
And, you know, date a few women and one thing or another. And he's got this old beat-up car.
Yeah.
Can't really afford to buy a new one. But he's thinking to himself, how can I make this car more appealing to women? You know, what can I do to make it more attractive? And, you know, so what he decided to do... clearly, which he thinks is a great idea.
Pimp his ride?
He's pimped his ride, but what he does is, you know those plastic toys that you get from McDonald's or wherever?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's stuck them all over his car.
No!
Because he thinks women will love that.
How many toys?
He's got 195 so far stuck all over his car. He intends to cover his entire car.
For
with
what?
Because he thinks it looks cool, and he thinks that women will love this stuff.
So, Has he picked out any women before?
He's had two dates so far.
Well, it's on the news.
Right, yeah, it's in
See,
the news.
That's the problem with the world. The things like that are getting
this
into the news.
This is the fact that it's getting in the news.
Yeah.
But, you know, to his credit, you know, he's 81.
Yeah,
The dates that he's had, one of the women was 63.
Oh.
And the other one was 62.
Damn.
You know what? Maybe he's onto something. I don't know.
How?
So those are all Happy Meals that he's eating?
It must well be. You know, it's you know what they say about Americans, mate.
Like,
you know,
200 Happy Meals? 81? He's going to die. He's going to die next week.
He's going to die next week. Maybe he's getting them off his, you know, grandkids and his great-grandkids. Maybe they're coming along and giving him a minute. But
did he rob a McDonald's?
Give me all the
He's from
toys.
Kentucky. Probably. He's probably part of the NRA. You know, he's probably in there with his rifle. Give me that.
Yeah.
But that's not cool, man. It's not,
he's 81, lah. He probably knows different.
It's like,
thinks
what,
differently
midlife
to what
crisis
mean.
Or something?
Midlife crisis?
End life crisis.
Come on.
Kentucky 81-year-old old right, guy. White right. guy?
Of course.
Of course, oh, yeah. Of course. Course.
In his wife beater.
Wait, what car is that? What car is that again?
It is a 1995 Toyota Tercel. Right.
1995?
Yeah.
It's not,
nah. It's been around a while. Yeah. Okay, what have you got?
Okay, now, my story's in China.
Okay.
Okay, now apparently the civic affairs minister, Li Li Guo, I don't know him. Well, he wants...
I met him last week. Nice fella.
Well, he wants...
Eats a lot.
Anyone naming sites like bridges, buildings, roads to take inspiration from Chinese history.
Uh-huh.
So instead of opting foreign names like Manhattan Plaza, they want it all to be in Chinese.
Okay,
so
give
instead
us
of
a,
instead of
give us an
read,
example.
I can't read. No.
You can't read.
Don't try that. You know I can't say it. You know I can't say it. Don't try it. So instead of just, you know, naming it in English names, you know, they want it to be in Chinese because they want to keep the culture in its own country. So.
Uh-huh.
But this brings me to, like, you know, we in Malaysia, I think
yes.
it was just last year or 2 years ago,
recently,
we changed road names. Road names. I'm like, who cares?
Road names that had been established for like 30 or 40 years,
more
right?
More than
and
that,
what did
I
they
think.
Change it to? Like international names?
No, no, no.
No,
they essentially renamed a lot of these older established names with names that were named after politicians. Recent politicians.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Number one is confusing. Number two, who
Nobody
cares?
Cares. Nobody cares.
Nobody
you know?
Cares.
Of course. So when people say, you know, I'm going to meet you on such and such street, they refer to the old street names
yes.
because that's what people remember, you know.
It's quite confusing, to be honest. I mean, even on Waze, I'm
How
like,
much money did they spend?
An awful lot of
See,
money.
See, this is why this country needs war. You need something to do, okay? Somebody invade somebody. Let's do something, okay?
The best time to invade is probably around 3 o'clock when everybody's drinking their tea and eating their food, right? Or
yeah.
Malaysians will be sat around doing nothing apart from eating, right? That'd be a good idea, right?
Yeah.
All right. Ari, you have a story for us? You were saying something about sneaking over a border when you shouldn't have been.
Yeah. When I should. Yeah, like, so I was in Thailand. I was going to Cambodia. And there's this thing that you can do. You $5
yeah.
you can get from Bangkok to Siem Reap in Cambodia.
Okay.
But you have to kill... No, you don't. But you have to, like... You get a cargo train.
Right.
Like, there's no seats. I was, and the cargo train takes 60 now. So you're on a box that, I mean, it's dusty. There's chickens.
Uh-huh.
There's a dude who's probably just murdered 6 people next to you. It's, I mean, but I fly AirAsia, so it's not that
so
bad.
So you understand.
So it's not that
right,
bad. Yeah.
Right,
people
yeah.
spit on you. It's uh-huh. great. AirAsia does that uh-huh. as well. I mean, it's a common policy. It's great. I mean, I feel like home. I feel like home. This is Estonia. I'm like, this is a great place. And the train ride's actually pretty fun. I mean, I fell off a couple of nights, fine. And I drank some whiskey from a dude's flask. It was great. But then, yeah, you get to the border, and then you have to go for another, like, 30 kilometers to get across the border. And I jump on the back of a motorbike. He just drives, right? And he drives near... It's a fence, but I didn't understand that it's that fence. It was just a fence
uh-huh.
that had a, like a hole in it. And there's all these people passing through. And I'm like, well, I got to go.
Let's see where they're going.
Mm. Yeah, and I walk like half an hour, right? And it's really dark. And it's a really shady neighborhood, right? It's a weird neighborhood. And I see a hotel. I'm like, oh, thank God. I'm so tired. I'm dusty. I'm just covered in... it's just terrible. And I get to the hotel. I go to the reception. And I ask him, first of all, I ask him how far is the border, and he shows me the way, but he shows me like the other way, but I'm just thinking, he doesn't know, right? Mm. Whatever, I'll just take a night here, and then I'll figure it out in the morning. And next to him is a cop.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, next to him is a cop. And I try to I take my bots out. I mean, this is Thailand, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I take my bots out, he goes, no, US dollar. I'm like, no, what? Ah, oh, man. And I'm, so... And the cop, like, listens, and the cop, I think he understands English a little bit, and he just goes, show me your visa, and I'm like, oh, my Thai visa. He's like, no, this is Cambodia. I'm like,
oh.
And then I realize, oh, crap. I just came over, like by accident. I just came over, and this guy he puts handcuffs on me. I have to go to the thing, and I'm really like, I'm not stressed. I'm just really tired. I'm like, whatever. Let's just do whatever we got to do. And I go into this. They sit me down at this table. There's like 6-7 guys, but they look weird. They look weird. They're weird cops, right? Uh-huh. And they're really serious about everything. But then again, one guy's drinking a bottle. I see he's drinking rum. Like, he's trying to hide it from me. But I see he's drinking rum. And he's telling me all this, that I got to sign. I got to pay, $200 American, all these things, right? And I look at his, I look at a guy who's next to me. I look at his badge, and it says Texas Ranger.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I noticed that it's plastic, but I'm really tired, right? Mm. So I start looking around. The signs are just regular paper. The walls are weird, and I'm like, this is not a police station. These are not. They're not cops. Mm-hmm. Texas Ranger. That's what it said. And I just stand up, I take my bag, and I just go, goodbye. And they kind of figure out that I figured it out.
Right, right,
so they just laugh and give me like a high five. I was there for like 2 hours thinking I'm going to go to jail in Cambodia. Yeah, and I basically went back to the border to get my visa. And right. Then I jumped on a car, 5-seater, uh-huh, with 7 other Mongolians.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. They had booze, everything.
But the one thing that kind of drew me to that story is that you're at a fence and you see people passing through it, and you just think to yourself, I'm just going to follow these people, see where they're going.
Yeah, I didn't know, like, the fence didn't look like a real fence. Right. It just looked like it kind of did, but I was like, dude, I'm from Estonia. I don't know nothing, okay?
Never seen a fence before.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Okay, we got to move on, folks. It's time for Smarty Pants. Ari, I know you're really happy about this.
I'm scared.
All right, it sounds a bit like this.
Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants.
All right.
Let's do something about that intro.
Yeah, I like that intro. Come on, it's supposed to irritate the hell out of you. Is that what it did?
It did.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm so scared of
Job
this
done.
Quiz thing.
Right, 3 minutes to answer as many questions as you can. If you don't know the answer, just say skip. All right?
Can I just go? Okay.
3 minutes, start now. The world headquarters of which chocolate giant is located in Switzerland? Is it Nestle or Cadbury?
Nestle.
Which famous chocolate company shares its name with a planet? Is it Mars or Venus?
Mars.
Which alkaloid found in coffee is responsible for its stimulating effect?
Skip.
On the internet, which company claims to be the largest retailer? Alibaba or Amazon?
Amazon.
It's the other one.
What?
Which German composer is considered the father of Western music? Johann Sebastian Bach or Ludwig van Beethoven?
German?
The other one.
Johann.
In which Asian country are fireworks widely believed to have originated?
China.
Recently, what topic did Leonardo DiCaprio raise at the Academy Awards subsequent to receiving his first Academy
Global
Award?
Global warming?
Correct. Who designed the statuette for the Academy Awards? Was it Cedric Gibbons or Richard Day?
Richard Day.
The other one. What is the color of the body fluid of the grasshopper, green or red?
Green.
In Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, what is the name of the Prisoner of Azkaban? Is it Sirius Black or Severus Snape?
Severus Snape.
What was the first color film made by Alfred Hitchcock? Was it Rope or Vertigo?
Vertigo.
I think that is correct. Which group is... It is Rope, in fact. Yes, correct. Damn. Which group had a number one song called Light My Fire? Was it Queen or The Doors?
The Doors.
Complete this famous song line by Michael Jackson. I'm staring at the what in the mirror?
I have no idea.
It's the man in the mirror. What is Mozart's first name? Ludwig or Wolfgang? I mentioned it earlier.
Wolfgang.
What is a group of paper known as? A stack of paper. Is it a ream or a stack?
A ream.
Correct. Hydroelectric power plants use what to power the generators?
Water.
What is the national drink of Puerto Rico? Is it rum or vodka?
Vodka.
It's rum. No. Which gas comprises 95.3% of Mars's atmosphere? Is it oxygen or carbon dioxide?
Carbon dioxide.
Name one out of the four people who created Spider-Man.
What? No, skip.
He's in every Marvel movie. He makes a cameo role.
Oh, Spike Lee.
Nearly.
Nah, I don't know.
It's Stanley.
Stanley.
Who is the arch enemy of Spider-Man? Is it Dr. Octopus or the Joker?
Dr. Octopus.
What is the home planet of Anakin Skywalker?
Don't know.
No? Of which spaceship do Han Solo and Chewbacca pilot and co-pilot?
Stop with these nerdy questions.
I didn't write them.
Skip, skip.
What is the tallest building in Malaysia?
The Petronas?
Yes.
Correct. What is the first skyscraper to integrate wind turbines into its design? Was it the Bahrain World Trade Center or the Dubai World Trade Center?
Dubai?
It's the Bahrain.
Oh, okay.
We're out of time. We'll be back in a minute. We'll find out how well Ari did. Don't go anywhere, folks. It is that time of night here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chu.
Joining us in the studio is stand-up comedian and Bond traveller. His name is...
Ari Mari.
He's with us all the way through until 9pm. We're almost out of time. Very quickly, folks, we have a giveaway. 016-201-9000. We're giving away visors from our friends over at Ashby Nimble. Answer this question for us.
Tell us, when were the first pair of commercially available false eyelashes invented? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why do you deserve to win as well.
You've got about 2 minutes left before we give away the answer to that. Okay, okay. Ari, let's go through some of the questions you got wrong first. So not all of them, just a few.
Just for you.
And then we'll wrap
First one, which alkaloid found in coffee is responsible for its stimulating effect is caffeine? On the internet, which company claims to be the largest retailer is Alibaba? Complete this famous song line by Michael Jackson. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. What is the national drink of Puerto Rico? It's rum. Name one out of the four who created Spider-Man. It's, one of them is Stan Lee, Steve Ditko, Tom DeFalco, and another one is Ron Frenz.
Right. So let's have a drum roll.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Mati scored 14 points.
It's not respectable. Too
bad. No, it's
Come
not.
On. It's all right.
That, when you said respect, that the way you said it, stop it.
Wait.
Stop it.
I'll explain why. Let me explain why. 14 points is a particular number that it lives in infamy here on that time of night because Dr. Jason Leong scored the same points.
And he's a doctor?
And he's a doctor. And he complained that he should have scored more. But he's a doctor.
He should come by profession.
Yeah, he should have got better, right?
Like, I'm retarded and I scored 14.
See? Yeah, so this whole argument is you are as smart as a doctor here in Malaysia.
Oh, that's
a good reputation.
What kind of doctor is he?
He's a general practitioner.
So that's not a real doctor.
Okay. I'll let you tell him that one. All right, it's almost time for us to wrap up. Ari, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Pleasure to meet you. We've got a few silly facts that we're going to throw out for the end of the show. Adeline, what do you have?
If you stand on the equator of the first day of spring, you would see the sun pass directly overhead.
Doesn't it pass directly overhead all the time? That was a trick question, Adeline. I already know the answer. No, I know it doesn't. But anyway, I just wanted to see you go. All right, my fact is that not too long ago, in 2008, an entire beach was stolen in Jamaica. 500 truckloads of sand are still missing to this day.
They were Estonian.
Where did you put 500 truckloads of sand? Anyway, that's it. It has been that time of night here on BFM 89.9. But before we go, the answer to the question of when were the first commercially available false eyelashes available on sale, it was 1916.
1916.
Mm-hmm. Mm. 1916. The Egyptians were doing it thousands of years before, but you couldn't buy them back then. Anyway, thank you very much, Ari. Thank you very much, Adeline.
And 1916 was the downfall of humanity.
It was indeed. Mm. Yeah. Good night, folks.
Good night, all.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.